the same way today. When Jesus breathed on his disciples after he raised from the dead, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. He received the life flow, restoration, redemption had taken place in the disciples' lives, and they began to breathe in the breath of God once again, and the life flow of God began to flow, and along with that life flow comes faith. If we're connected to God, we have that life flow of faith available to us, and it'll grow in power and fullness. How does this God kind of faith work? Galatians 5:6 says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. The kingdom operates by love. Faith is the currency or title deed of what you want in the kingdom, and it must be operated by love. So how does faith work? Here at Faith Works Center, we should know how faith works, and it works by love. Faith works by love. And so if we try to demonstrate something outside the area of love, it's not going to work. It will just not function according to the plan and purposes of the way God has operates, because he operates out of faith. And of course, the Bible says that God is love. You know that scripture in the Bible where it says God is love? It actually means, literal translation actually means that love flows out of God. No wonder the scripture said that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. It has literally been put in us. The love, not that he loves us tremendously, but he's taken his love and put it in us so that we can love one another. We can love God and we can love one another. And that's a pretty awesome thing sometimes. And I think I have the love of God. That's why I can pray for somebody sometimes and all at once the compassion of God comes forward. It comes from him. Because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. It's in there. I used to read that for years and years and think, oh, it's great that God loves me. But he's actually taken his love and put it in me. And so we have the love that it takes to operate the faith that comes from him. It all comes from God. All from him. Mark 11:23, for assuredly, now we're looking at how this faith works, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now, it's so important to look at this. This mountain, you know, we often refer to it as a situation or trial or something that we're going through. And Jesus said, if you say to this mountain, he said, say, if you say this, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. And when we're believing God, for it could be the fullness of the Spirit. You know, somebody might say, well, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And we find some scripture. And we look at Luke chapter 11, where it sees that Jesus said the Father would give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. And so, okay, I've asked, but I don't speak in tongues, and it seems like nothing's happening. I've asked, but I don't feel any different. Well, I've asked, and I still get just as mad as when I did before and all the rest of it. Well, faith believes the word and begins to say, I thank God I've asked for the Holy Spirit, and according to his word, he has given it to me. I have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in me. The Holy Spirit is upon me. I have the Holy Spirit. Faith says it, speaks it out. Whoever says to this mountain, whoever the things that he says, he will have. So important that we get in our mouth in line with what we're asking for and believing God for. And we've done this very clearly by salvation. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So confession is a part of salvation. We confess it with our mouth. We believe. I find that, you know, with some people in the past, I've dealt with people who have had a very difficult time to say that they were saved. Well, it's a very difficult time to believe you're saved if you can't say you're saved. Or another good example is that I've talked to people where it's a very difficult time to get them to be able to believe that they're righteous, to get them to say, I am righteous. The best you can get out of a lot of times with people who haven't had a teaching that we've taught on here about righteousness, the best you can get out of them is said, well, if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be anything. Well, obviously, we know that. but they're trying to, because they can't seem to get it to come out of their mouth that they're righteous. So they'll say words all around it because they don't see themselves as righteous. Well, usually you have to believe it before you see it. I had to confess it with my mouth and believe it long before I felt righteous. And I felt it, that it wasn't, that it was even okay to say it. Some of you had to, when you come, because it's difficult to say things by faith that everything around you is against. And the devil doesn't want you to know that you're righteous. He sure doesn't. Because if you're not righteous, then how could you expect to receive anything from God? But praise God, Jesus has made us righteous. And we confess that continually. He has made us righteous. So that's how we get saved. When I got saved, I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life. I can still remember, you know, we don't never have all the words right, for sure. We never are confessing right and just starting out. And my confession of faith, Lord God, if you're real, save me. I don't want to die and go to hell. That's simply just, and I got up off my knees and got in bed. And I'll tell you, I believe with all honesty, I can say from that day to this, I never doubted I was saved. I don't know why, because I hear a lot of people having doubts after they get saved that they're really saved. But I never doubted. I just took the word of God and said, well, I guess one of the reasons why, because I knew if he didn't save me, I had absolutely no hope because I had nothing to offer. I knew that if he didn't do it all for me, I had nothing to offer. So I had to just believe if God, who said he was going to have to do it all for me anyway. So I just accepted it. It's an awesome thing to recognize that we're saved and going to heaven. We don't have to go to hell. Praise God. And we came into that knowledge by the confession of our mouths. And Jesus shows us the operation of faith, how to turn a faith loose by our words or actions. We give those around a picture of who we are, what we stand for, and what we hold dear to our hearts. We give an account on what credibility we carry. This becomes known to the demonic realm as well. What do I mean by that? Well, our words and actions give an indication what we believe, what we declare. Now, our actions will also tell other people, let other people know what we really believe. Well, I say that my God supplies all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I believe that. I believe that. I can't tithe, though, because I don't have enough money to pay my rent this month. Or I can't tithe because I may not have enough money to put money in the gas tank next week. That doesn't match up, does it? If we confess one thing, believing that God meets all our needs according to his riches and glory, and yet in this other hand, we don't do what the word of God declares that we can do that can even open this gate of blessing to us, then we're double-minded. Because on the one hand, we're saying we do believe this, and our actions are saying otherwise. And the devil's looking at us and laughing because they know what we believe if we won't be obedient to the word. They know. And they know that we don't have the authority to hold them off because of what comes out of our mouth and the things that we do. But if we'll declare the word of God very clearly, we put on the whole armor of God. It covers us from the head to toe. We declare the word of God. Far as the enemy is concerned, it's God speaking those words that are coming out of our mouth. So, man, that raises the authority level tremendously. If the enemy never sees us, you know, without our armor and doing things that we shouldn't do, then he knows our authority and he'll back off. He'll run immediately. He'll run immediately. Praise the name of Jesus. We give an account of our credibility by the words that come out of our mouth. The key here is what we say. Matthew 13:24 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So sometimes people will get all out of shape sometimes and begin to get worried and get in fear and so forth, and things will begin to come out of their mouths because in their heart, in the abundance of their heart, fear is there. And fear will short-circuit faith anytime. Faith and fear cannot function together. One has got to go, one or the other. And if we're in a place of fear, then faith will not work. Fear will try to come upon us. There's no question about it. Fear will try to grab a hold of us. I remember one time when Josh was he was probably about 4, maybe 5 years old, and we were living in Western Canada. It was a Sunday afternoon, and we were sitting around the house, and I said to Josh, do you want to take a walk to the park and take a look at the gophers? There's just hundreds and hundreds of gophers in this little park. If you lived in Calgary and West, you'd have seen lots of them. But we went there, and we were walking, And Josh was kind of running around and here and there and everything as we were walking, kind of talking a little bit. And all of a sudden, I seen him fall down, and he picked himself up again, and he walked a little farther, and then he fell down again. And he picked himself up, and the third time, he fell down again. And he got up crying. He said, "Daddy, I can't stand up." He was falling all the time. So I picked him up, and I didn't think nothing. I just didn't know what was going on. I took him, and I sat him on this big rock. This rock was about that high, and I sat him right on top of it there, and I was standing right alongside of him, and that we were just kind of looking at the mountains. Actually, it was a clear day. You could see the Rocky Mountains, too, and Gophers as well. And all of a sudden, he came flying off that mountain, that rock, and he didn't fall off it. It's like something threw him over. Something pushed him over. It happened in such a way that I knew that it was the enemy trying to do something to my son. And I said, "Josh," I picked him up because he started crying. Then something was going on. And we knelt down together, and I commanded the devil to take his hands off of Josh in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and pleaded the blood over him and all those things that we do. Commanded the enemy to release him. That we got up and began walking back to the house, and we got close to the house, and he took off running. And so I'm thinking, what kind of an experience was that? And all the thoughts start bombarding you now. Well, this is the beginning of MS or some other disease. That's you're going to have to take him to get him checked out now to the doctor. You're going to have to see what that was all about and so forth. All these thoughts are bombarding me continually. And I'm walking up to the house, and I've decided, and I'm going to say, now, if I tell Debbie, what's going to be her thought? Because I'm not going to get in fear over this. I'm not taking them to the doctor. I'm not going to do this because I know these thoughts were bombarding me, and you're starting to get concerned and so forth. But you're fighting that, and so I decided I'm not going to tell Debbie. I thought I'm going to deal with it myself in this situation, and I didn't. And I mean, I thank God for today because nothing ever came out of it. But I'm sure I don't know what would have happened. Maybe Debbie would have said the same thing. That was the attack of the devil. And would just move on. But I decided that we'd just leave it there and fight that fear and continue to move on in God. And sometimes it's a real battle. You just have to keep on going. And you take your authority over the enemy. So by your words, you will be justified. And by your words, you will be condemned. And you could put it this way. By your words, you will have victory. Or by your words, you will be defeated. Words are important. 1 Corinthians 4:13 says, "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak." In other words, if we believe that we are people to walk in divine health, we're going to speak that we're healthy people, that we're a people who will enjoy health. We're going to die healthy. Someday, if the Lord tarries, we're going to die healthy. We're not going to be in a bed somewhere, and like so many today that I can't move and paralyzed and so forth. When it's our time to go, our breath is just going to leave us, and we're going to be gone to be with the Lord. This is our confession of faith. We believe it, and we speak it. Somebody said one time, we were building a house here about 5 years ago. We were building three stories, but with the count in the basement. But he said, "Man," he said, "don't you ever plan to get old?" I said, "Yes, I plan to get old, man, but not feeble, that you can't walk upstairs." Our decision has to be made based on faith, because the enemy is watching all the time how we handle ourselves in the area of faith and healing and so forth. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to God. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. That means we have to work our faith. Now, Hebrews, we know that Hebrews 11:1, we've discovered that already, that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So that evidence is something that we cannot see, but there is a display of the evidence by the actions we take. Display of that evidence by the actions that we take. In other words, if we are doing things in line with what we claim we believe, we are displaying what we believe. We're displaying it to ourselves. We're displaying it to God. We're displaying it to the angels. We're displaying it to the devil and his forces. We're displaying what we believe by the actions we take. And it's important that we display what we believe. As we display what we believe, we are going to find more and more that the substance of that faith that we're exercising, what we're believing for, is going to come into existence into the natural realm. I've heard, you know, testimonies before about people who would have no food at all in their house, and they set the table anyway. And praise God, there would be somebody would come knocking on the door and say, I just was about to go home from work today, and God spoke to me and told me that I should drop these groceries off at your doorstep. You know, these kind of things happen. I remember hearing a story about this lady who was always praising the Lord, believing God, and an atheist living right next door to her. And she was praising God one day. She didn't have any food in the house, but she went out to the patio and declared, God, I thank you. You meet all my needs according to your riches and glory. Thank you for the food for the day and so forth. And if they atheist next door was laughing. He said, I'm going to play a trick on her. So he went out and bought some food and set it on her doorstep. She went out and found the food and said, oh, thank you, God, for sending the food. And the atheist stuck out from around the corner and said, see, there is no God. It was me that put that food there. And she reached up and said, God, thank you so much. Even the children of the devil are bringing me food. Her faith was in God's ability to supply food for her. Didn't make any difference who brought it. Faith always wins the victory. Amen. And the things that we do display what we believe. Things that we do display the things that we believe. It is not really appropriate for you and I. We get here on Sunday morning, and the truth of the matter is many, many people do this. They can get here on Sunday morning, the worship is wonderful, and they get kind of lost in worship, and they say that they're thirsty for God. I'm so thirsty for God. I so want to see God move. I so want the power of God to work, move in our church and in our lives and so forth. But then they go home, and you don't see them until next week. They never get involved in anything. They're not seeking the first kingdom of God. They're not seeking putting that first. You know how many people this summer, how many times that they've, you know, an average week would be doing things, maybe pleasure or things with the kid 3-4 times a week and in church once a week. Now we have to be honest. Is that really putting first the kingdom of God? I mean, it wouldn't be for me. I'm just saying, I don't know. Maybe some people see things differently. I don't know. It wouldn't be for me. For me, I find the more I gather together, the more I can really recognize even that the kingdom of God has so much for us. I know that if I stopped going to church for 2 or 3 weeks, if I wasn't in church for 2 or 3 weeks and made a habit of that, I would soon even couldn't even relate to the kingdom of God enough to even desire it. It'd be just gone. And you think, well, I'm okay. I'd sooner stay home and watch something on television. But If we claim that we are thirsty for God, then we have to do things that demonstrate our faith in that particular area. There's so many things that we can practice in order to show that our faith grows, that we believe certain things. And as we do, God will look at that person and say, wow, they really are hungry for me. They really want my presence. They really, what did God say? You will find me if you seek me on Sunday morning. You will find me if you seek for me with all of your heart, all of it. In other words, he's first. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir here because you're all here. But I am saying this, like what I started out with. We can carry things for other people. If we can be thirsty enough, maybe it'll rub off on somebody else. Amen. Maybe it'll rub it off on others, and they'll get thirsty. You know, impartation, the anointing comes with impartation. And as you and I grow in our thirst and so forth and begin to talk to other people and so forth, that maybe it'll rub off on them. And so just our presence can carry a thirst for God. Amen. So praise God, we can really grow in that area and impart what God is stirring in us. Well, let's stand.